I think we can kind of skip past one because I'll let the folks that are here, I assume, to talk about action five to introduce themselves with five. So any requested changes to the agenda or minutes for the evening?
Well, it's first, yeah, we should go around and gotcha. So for the record.
Do a roll call, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. I guess we'll start at that end.
Yeah, Kevin Tebow, Management Analyst with Public Works, filling in for Vanessa tonight.
Kevin Hopman, City Traffic Engineer.
Tony Martin, Assistant City Traffic Engineer.
Cheryl Hummond, CATC Member.
Nate Levin, CATC Member.
Matt Schmidt, CATC Member.
Kenny Kennedy Schultz, Chair.
Guests for the evening, Angela Hedrick, Salem Police Department, Strategic Communications and Initiatives Manager.
Trevor Upkey, Salem Police Department, Deputy Chief, Field Operations.
Cool. Any requested modifications to the agenda for the evening or to the minutes as they were provided for the first and 21st meetings?
I have one thing on the minutes, and I didn't actually print the whole thing. I think if I just describe this, if you're looking at it, you'll see it. On the October 21st meeting minutes, under approval of minutes, it refers to the previous meeting as being November 1. And that's just a mistake. It should be October 1.
Perfect. We'll make that update.
If anyone who has it is seeing that.
Yeah, I saw that. Also, my name is misspelled. No C in Schultz.
Got it. Thank you.
I believe also to the October 21st meeting, was it myself and Cheryl that submitted email questions prior to the meeting?
Yes.
If I believe that would be appropriate to attach copies of those questions to those minutes for reference purposes.
Yep.
Those are the only modifications that I can think of. Any other questions or issues? Then I move to have the minutes approved with the changes as noted. Looking for a second.
Second.
Yeah. Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion passes unanimously. All right. Seeing no members of the public, I believe we can move straight into the Salem Police Strategic Plan.
Yeah, hi. So, this is my first time being here, so I'm excited to be here. I believe we were invited to come to talk about our strategic plan, and this is our second strategic plan. We've identified traffic issues as a top priority in both strategic plans, and once again, in this three-year strategic plan, we've called it out in Initiative 2 under safety. Kind of to back it up,
do you want to pull it up on?
Yeah, you can pull it up.
Is it under police? Or is it the thing that you sent, Angela sent me, or is it under?
That would be talking about our traffic fatalities from last year, so some statistics.
Yeah. Do you mean the internet?
Yeah, we could probably get out to the police.
If you go to yoursalempd.com, that's our transparency portal, and you can find a lot of different things on there.
And this is also available for the public, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
So a little bit about us. We've got
80
people on patrol, 80 officers on patrol responding to patrol calls and conducting proactive activities, including traffic safety. Working certain zones, looking for code violations, things of that nature. We also have a traffic patrol unit or a traffic team. Those are the motorcycle cops. We have 6 officers and 1 sergeant. They work mostly Monday through Friday. They conduct operations usually once a week of some sort and work with multi-agency teams, so work with Marion County, OSP, Polk County, Kaiser PD, State, and things like that. Other agencies like that, they also receive grant funding from ODOT to concentrate at different times on safety violations, distracted driving, DUI, distracted driving is mostly cell phones, things of that nature, and then seatbelt compliance. So they work throughout the year on grant-funded overtime shifts for that. And then in addition to that, if we're talking traffic safety, we also have our photo red light and speed on green. that has, I believe, 6 part-time, mostly retired officers that work that and are, geez, boy, I used to really be on top of this one when I was a lieutenant over that, with 8 intersections, which has multiple, I think we have 8 intersections and multiple
directions
that are going to go, and then it's called approaches. So, kind of what, going along with that, usually the two most, when we do a, the city does its survey every year as related to public safety. Homelessness is one, although, you know, that's debatable as to how much public safety is involved in that. Number 2 is always traffic safety. And so with that, that's why we have listed it as one of the priorities for our strategic plan. Unfortunately, last year was hopefully an outlier for us. We had 22 traffic fatalities, 21 fatal collisions, and I think that can be pulled up. That's what we emailed to you, but I have hard copies I can give you. And it's kind of a breakdown of what occurred in those, along with our traffic team going out and doing enforcement and education activities. They also are the investigators on our traffic fatalities, so they have special certifications to be crash reconstructionists. So essentially they also work as detectives as fatalities need that, and often fatalities involve criminal activity, usually impairment of some sort. So as you can see, last year when we look at that, we had the 21 crash investigations resulting in 22 fatalities. It was obviously an outlier, where we're averaging kind of in that usually double digits, unfortunately, but not to the level of 20 in the 20s.
Do you mind if I ask a question really quickly of Public Works so it's time pertinent? Was there also a spike this year in AADT on roadways that seems correlated to that in any way, or does this not seem to be tied to roadway traffic in the last year?
I mean, roadway traffic is, I don't know that it spiked, but it is going back to pre-COVID conditions.
Okay.
So it is raising, and the population's increasing as well.
Okay. I was just curious if that was at least partially explanatory, so I was going to ask that question while we were on it. Apologize for...
Oh, yeah, no problem. And when we've kind of done, not necessarily analysis on increase in traffic flow, what we've seen when we've done our analysis on photo red light and speed on green is as traffic volume has gone up, we've seen crashes in those areas actually go down, even though per capita we're seeing fewer incidences at those locations. So that's why this was such an outlier, as that's kind of leveled out and we're seeing kind of that equilibrium hit, that 22 is just so far outside of the norm, even though with the increase in traffic, amount of traffic on the roadways. So as you can see, when we break down our fatal collisions by type for 2024, 33% of them were vehicle versus pedestrian, 24% were vehicle on vehicle, 14% were single vehicle. Motorcycles were kind of an outlier that year in our motorcycle, single vehicles, or vehicle versus motorcycle, and then vehicle versus bicycle was at 9%. 48% were DUI related, 14% were hit and run. It was actually a little bit odd, and why that was also an outlier was the number that weren't criminal kind of stood out, that we didn't have more DUIs related to these. And some of those were, what we saw was a lot of driver behavior, so especially with some of the motorcycles and the single vehicles, that was, you know, excessive speeding. I think we had some that involved probably some speed racing, and then the motorcycles operating unsafely. So it looked like some of that wasn't in criminal behavior, but just kind of reckless driving, for lack of a better term. We saw kind of that uptick.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
On this. Do you know whether the percent breakdowns are similar for the previous years?
I don't know exactly, but... It stays pretty close. You know, we're usually in that 10% that involve bicyclists. Obviously, with you know, safety equipment in vehicles, the vehicle collisions. People are a little more safe than pedestrians. That's, you know, it's just so dangerous for pedestrians. And we, I think, I'd have to say off the top of my head, the last 2 years, we probably saw a little bit higher percentage that were pedestrians. So that's, that this year, that's gone down a little bit, but these averages are about there. So we had two single vehicle fatalities. So that three single fatalities this year. So out of the 9 that we've recorded so far this year, one, let me just count it up real quick. 3, 4, 5. So 5 of our 9 this year involved pedestrians, and one was a bicycle, and 3 were single vehicle. So usually the pedestrian is usually a little bit higher in that sense. And that's why I said last year was an outlier with the single vehicle and the motorcycles. Driving, it was just the driving behavior, not necessarily even tied to DUI. So that was a little bit outlier.
Yeah, Beth, do you have a question as well?
Sorry, Trevor.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do, cookies. Have you found patterns where the pedestrian fatalities are taking places where you have priority zones?
They're actually pretty spread out. It's going to be kind of environmental factors with lighting and where. I do, anecdotally, and I think we probably have to work with Kevin a little bit more, I think we saw after we see some of the kind of the increases in the pedestrian ones, my opinion is when we changed pedestrian timing crossing, I think that helped reduce that, especially the downtown core. We would definitely always see a couple every year in the downtown core, or one. Lancaster, and then Deep South is kind of the area for those to take place, where we see pedestrians. A lot more pedestrian. I mean, you can just drive through town, you'll see more pedestrian foot traffic in those areas. But I would say I'm very optimistic that the light timing for pedestrians in the downtown core has been effective in reducing.
And I do reach out to police and ask them for some kind of basic details, because I know they can't get into it, just to see if there's something I should be looking at, like was it at night and it was dark, or get some details to see if it should trigger something I should be doing as well.
Yeah, Scott Kilfoyd and Kevin work, probably talk at least weekly, if not more, when we have a crash or just about all sorts of things traffic related. All of our data goes to ODOT. We tried earlier this year to work with Kevin to provide more kind of timely info on our fatal crashes, but unfortunately, a lot of times it's tied up, if it is, especially if it's criminal, that we can't provide information that wouldn't be released while it's still being adjudicated. So our hands are kind of tied on that. We tried to find some loopholes that we could be able to do that, because it's so important to make sure that we're all on the same page and keeping the public safe. But we have limitations on information sharing kind of within about a year to 2 year window, depending on what's going on with the crashes and what the causes are. So that's kind of as you can see, generally speaking, we do, Salem does have, it's a lot of traffic fatalities. We average about, I don't know off the top of my head, how many homicides a year? Probably less than 10.
Yeah. 10 or less.
10 or less homicides, but every year we're in double digits for traffic fatalities, right? So that's why we look to that as an important thing. We staff a traffic unit. I don't know if we can go back to find it. This year in our initiative, we called out reducing fatal and injury collisions, because I don't have the stats on the injury collisions, but we have obviously a lot of injury collisions. But like I said before, because of Salem Health being close, good response time by Salem Fire, and modern vehicles, we don't see as many fatalities as we potentially could, but we're still out there. We don't want people to be hurt either. So one of our goals is fewer traffic fatalities each year than the previous 3 year average. One of our strategies for that is to conduct focused traffic enforcement. And prior to this year, our traffic team, which is supposed to have 6 and a sergeant, actually only had at times three in a sergeant or four in a sergeant. And so when we had less officers and more fatalities, they spent almost all their time just doing the investigations on the traffic fatalities, because those can take weeks to conduct, especially if there's a criminal nexus. They're doing full reconstruction, going out, being called out, following up with witnesses, tracking people down, doing that. So we didn't have our traffic team out on the road last year. This year we've doubled our enforcement activity. So I can't say that that's, you know, causation for why we've had such a dip this year, but I can say, I mean, I'm confident to say, like, being out there, being seen, and being visible has probably helped contribute, especially on the reckless drive, to kind of change some driving behaviors out there. Additionally, we average about 400 DUI arrests a year. We're still on track for that. We're pretty darn close. So we maintain a focus on that as well. So conduct traffic enforcement. We've worked with Public Works to identify areas like that that we should be looking at. We utilize traffic complaints from the public. We will put out radar reader boards that do collect data so that when someone calls in and says, hey, unfortunately, often the public will, their perception of speed and speeding in certain areas is greater than what it actually is. And so we'll put out data because we have such a limited resource. We'll put out the reader boards to collect that data and see. So that way we can actually get a time frame when traffic might be going, when it is speeding excessively, and then we'll focus our efforts there. That gets divvied up if we send a couple of reader boards out and we find some locations. Certain traffic officers will be provided a location to go and the times and dates and be able to see that data and where to go. It's also provided to patrol through an intranet page, so patrol officers can review that, know in their district where they should go based on traffic complaints, things like that. Especially if someone calls in and says, hey, look, you know, this has happened on my roadway, feel free to park my driveway. And officers will go and park there and you know, watch stop sign speeding, things like that. With that, we've been able to coordinate a little bit better with OSP, Marion County, Polk County, and like I said, Kaiser. So we've been doing some pretty big enforcement activities out on Highway 20, both sides of Highway 22, within the city of Salem, and a little bit up on I-5 to kind of help out OSP, where we're pulling over, making hundreds of stops during a concentrated like 4-hour time block, because we have about 15 officers out working those. And you know, we'll see, I think on 22 we've seen people in excess of 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. Mm-hmm. And you know, and ultimately we'll make arrests too. We also do commercial truck inspections, so we'll do every month we'll do a commercial truck inspection operation where we'll go out and bring trucks in for those inspections. We have level 1 and 2 traffic inspectors that are some of our officers, as well as we do pedestrian enforcement activities where we'll have a undercover officer that will go out and walk certain crosswalks. We'll utilize information from our partners and from citizen complaints of where people are experiencing the cars not stopping for pedestrians. We'll do both marked and unmarked crosswalks because people aren't very well versed in understanding unmarked crosswalks and that they exist. And usually that actually ends up being about, I'd say, a 3-to-1 ratio of warnings to citations on those activities. And we record them and we actually take out brochures and pamphlets. We do that in coordination with, I'm totally blanking on the grant group that helps us with that, Oregon Impact. And so we actually have educational brochures on crosswalk laws. And so we'll hand those out to drivers when we make that stop and give them a warning, and then provide them with a detailed brochure. So go out and do those things. So for us, our strategy, like I said, conduct focused traffic enforcement. You know, that's kind of the easy thing for us to control. But as we highlighted, we're focusing the right resources in the right areas, using collaborative strategic meetings, known as ICAP. So we'll have our crime analysts, we'll have traffic, we'll loop in City of Salem staff. If we have other roadway partners that we need to talk to, we'll work with them. We'll follow our fatal collision data, actively enforcing pedestrian, bicycle, and impaired driving violations in high-risk areas. Like I said, I've highlighted before, we conduct multi-agency enforcement projects, including school zones, HA officers kind of assign certain schools, and they try and get through each of those areas and work them as best we can. Our second strategy, as you can see, is to increase traffic safety education and awareness. We actually do quite a bit of that on the back end. So we'll work with some of our other partners, Oregon Impact, ODOT, Salem Health, the municipal court, where we'll participate in, like I said, the high-risk driver education. We've worked with the City of Salem on Vision Zero, both to get equipment and provide input where we need to be on that. We're going to work on the, I think we're still working on the Bloomberg American Health Initiative, which will have some PSAs that will go out, where we'll talk about that, and then we'll do support safe modes of travel for students with partner organizations, Safe Routes to School, school district, and we talk to chariots as well. So kind of any partner that's willing to come alongside with us to talk about traffic safety, we'll work with them. It's, you know, we're very collaborative on that because we know we can't do it all, and it takes everybody, both in the community and that. Additionally, Angie and I worked with the University of Oregon at the Sustainable City Year, and some of their grad students worked on some traffic safety campaigns, and hopefully we'll be able to kind of take what they built for us and utilize a few of those to gain public awareness for traffic safety. But we've, like I said, we've reached out to the U of O to help us create ways to educate the public. And our third strategy is to advocate for traffic engineering safety improvements. So work with Public Works to make sure that we're at least talking and coordinating on ways to make the roadway safer. We've had a little bit of a barrier when we talk about fatals, but as far as other traffic data, we provide that and have it in direct communication with them. Like I said, Kevin and Scott talk often about, hey, what's this intersection look like? What should we do? And things like that. So that was a lot. Any questions? Yeah.
What was the website for the strategic plan?
YourSalemPD.com.
That's short.
Okay.
Well, it's better than www.cityofsalem.net/.
Okay. And as you've taken a look at 2024 as far as the stats here, what is your perception of where 25 is moving?
Yeah, we're at 9, maybe 10. So we've cut it in half this year. So
is there anything that you can attribute that differential? You know, a 50% change is a...
Yeah, that's pretty substantial. It puts us back to kind of normal.
Sounds like enforcement probably helped.
Yeah, for us, what we definitely changed was we increased our enforcement by over 50%. We got fully staffed in our traffic team.
Okay.
You know, certain officers in certain months went from writing 50, being able to write 50 tickets to writing 100. And then these concentrated enforcement activities with other agencies and being out there. I mean, we see it when we do one of those operations, it's on social media. It's on Facebook, it's on Reddit, it's people are like, hey, slow down, the cops are out. I don't want to write a ticket. We don't have to write a ticket. If everybody slows down and drives safely, no one gets in a wreck, right? So even just getting it out there and seeing, you know, cops on the overpass running radar, people slow down, it's traffic calming, things of that nature. So for us, I think it's that enforcement, I think, has helped. I can't obviously point to that and say that that's causation. I think we've seen it trending down. I think we had some peaks right around COVID where people felt that there was no, you know, they're invincible and that there wasn't going to be any traffic. We obviously weren't making as many traffic stops during that time, and then we kept seeing it kind of accelerate. I think, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think you probably even look at, this is just kind of my first opinion, we're also seeing less people drinking. As a nation, there's less alcohol consumption, so hopefully there's less DUIs, although our DUI arrests have maintained about the same, but we're continuing to do that, do DUI projects. I think some of it is going to be some of the pedestrian safety measures have taken place with pedestrian islands, with timing of lights, things of that nature. I mean, those only help where people can have that safety corridor for getting across the streets, especially in those big business thoroughfares where, I mean, that's just a lot for a modern driver to be going. And so if there's a safety mechanism in place for pedestrians, because like I said, people in cars, it's getting harder to kill them in those cars, but if you're walking, you know, I mean, that's a 4,000-pound missile, and at 35 miles an hour, it just doesn't go bad. It's, you know, it's devastating. So doing that, and then being out there, being able to educate people too on, you got to stop for the pedestrian if they're, you know, moving in the roadway, and how to navigate that and watch out for it. So
this is a little bit of a twist.
Okay.
As far as the question, but from the perspective of the Salem Police Department's position,
mm-hmm.
is there something that you would like to see Citizens Traffic Advisory Committee consider, assist, promote, review, recommend?
Mm-hmm. I think promoting, kind of a quick, easy one is to promote that educational aspect. However, whoever comes up with that plan, however that's made, is to broadcast that out, to get people to put down your phones, you know, don't drink your coffee when you're driving, don't have your dog in your lap, pay attention, and for people to understand that they're driving around in these giant vehicles that are going to hurt somebody, and get people just kind of that awareness. And that was actually kind of an interesting piece when we worked with the U of O, with working with these, you know, young students. When they started digging in, it was really that awareness of, like, you got to pay attention when you're driving and stop doing all this other stuff, and just get people to say, hey, when I'm driving, I'm focused on the roadway and I'm focused on what I'm doing. And similarly for, you know, watch for cyclists, watch for pedestrians, and having the cyclists and pedestrians also watch what they're doing, and, you know, assuming that the person's not going to pay attention, and crossing at crosswalks, using the islands, things like that. So I think it would be to advocate for that educational piece, advocate for any kind of public service announcements, provide input on those as well, because I'm always going to come from a bias of enforcement. But I think having the public step up and say, hey, look, you know, this is what needs to be known, and this is what I see when I'm out and about, is really important as well.
So as far as the education component goes, the conversation with high school students mm-hmm. about their actions behind the wheel
yeah.
is an important discussion. But if you were to talk to Beth, her priority is consideration of safety for kids,
mm-hmm.
younger kids, to mm-hmm. get to and from school.
Yeah.
So is there a resource component that the police department might have that could potentially be available to do a presentation at something like a PTA meeting
mm-hmm.
to talk to the parents
yeah.
about their actions behind the wheel, as well as the conversation with high school and the kids' consideration?
Yeah. We don't have anything formal in place. I mean, hopefully within the next 3 years, within the strategic plan, you know, we kind of lean on our partners. And so when people like Beth go, hey, can you come in and have a chat? We show up and we'll have that talk if it gets arranged. We go to neighborhood meetings. We're working with, you know, I'm on a betterment committee with Highland Elementary, where we can go and talk to kids and participate in those educational things. So that's part of the educational piece of the traffic team. If we can get invited, we go, and we'll talk to people about traffic safety and put that out.
So if you were contacted by various schools that said, you know, we've got this parents meeting coming
yep.
up, you know, that would be beneficial.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Get the little ones to go. It was actually funny. We went to. So side story. We went to Highland for their Halloween assembly, and we talked about being safe when you're out in your costume and you need to cross at a crosswalk and have a light and have a flashlight, and had a separate meeting with the Betterment group, and a parent was on the committee and said, oh, you know, I was just there. And she goes, oh, yeah, we heard, we tried to cross the street mid-block, and our daughter said, the police officer said, we have to cross the crosswalk and have a flashlight bomb. Made him walk down to the crosswalk and go. So I was like, yep, there you go.
Good.
So, yeah, we're willing to get out there and do that. Every year we do Halloween dress rehearsal. We have upwards of 1,000 kids come, and we talk about that with them, how to be safe out there on those nights and do all that. So anytime we can get in front of anybody that wants to listen, we'll get out there and talk to them about traffic safety, because, as I said, more people are dying on our roads than from homicidal violence. And so we got to keep our people safe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I don't need to go next. I just
wanted
to say I have a few. I guess, you know, as some of us sit here as CATSE members, and I'm seeing two activities that involve...
Thank you.
So, sorry, the print is pretty small. I did read it in advance,
mm-hmm.
but so strategy one, the first activity. Oh my goodness. Happy medium. That's fine. So the ICAP, is there, you mentioned traffic partners or, you know, like the key players who are at these ICAP meetings,
yeah.
But then you said either traffic or transportation partners. I guess I'm wondering who is that, and is there a role for bike ped advocates or a CATSE member to be a part of that ICAP process when there is discussion of a fatality?
I believe so. So ICAP is, we are... ICAP really comes from a place of violent criminal activity, and it's a method for dealing with hot spots of community violence. When we're doing analysis, as I mentioned before, we have a lot of traffic fatalities. So it's a good way to do, like it says, intelligence communication planning and bringing in partners to kind of look at what we can all do to keep an area safer. That is aspirational at this point. We've been doing ICAP for our community violence reduction initiatives, but we've seen that that is an appropriate method to take on our issues with traffic safety. So as we move forward and start bringing in and having some more of these meetings, first internally and then kind of saying, well, who else do we need at the table? We'll broaden that out. And there's nothing secret going on in those meetings. It's really like, where do we need to focus? How are we gonna do it? What do we need to address? And then, like I said, reaching out and going, you know, we don't have all the answers, so who do we need to bring in? And we'd love people from the public, from Safe Routes, from the school district. I think CATSE, I mean, that's a perfectly great place because, I mean, you're the direct line to also for advocacy to Public Works. We'd like to bring somebody in from Public Works on that. So that's probably going to kick off more after the first of next year as we move through that. So spring, we have a bunch of training we got to get through, and then we'll start working on putting that together.
And so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
A related question, which you started to answer, if can we scroll to the bottom, please? The third strategy,
mm-hmm.
Advise and support Public Works, traffic safety, et cetera. I guess I'm also wondering explicitly, is there a role for CATSE? Because our public works staff don't need the police saying, you need to do this, do this, do this, and then separately CATSE saying, you need to do this, do this, do this. And so having that integrated, some kind of integrated approach where we're at the table together,
mm-hmm.
And can come up with the best solution from multiple, you know, police perspective, CATSE perspective, bike ped advocate safety,
mm-hmm.
And not just have police talking to public works and then completely separately CATSE or others talking to public works.
Yeah. Ideally, I think we would probably just assign a liaison to CATSE. I think we had a long, long time ago, we probably were doing that. We've been talking with Public Works on the side, but with an active CATSE, I don't see why we wouldn't try to just assign somebody from our traffic patrol team, and that way it's one happy meeting. We
would appreciate having a sergeant or a lieutenant liaison. That would be very helpful.
Yeah. So we can definitely work on that. I mean, some of this is too, is like, continue what we do, but then also advance what we're doing so that we're getting the right outcomes.
Okay, thank you. And I have other questions, but I will be quiet for now and let other folks have a turn.
Okay. Beth, you've been spoken for a little bit. Would you also like to ask any of your own direct questions? Because I think that this would be a very interesting topic for you, particularly when it comes to seeing if we can get some support in terms of the safety at those school crossings that we know are problems.
Sure. I mean, this is a great platform to inform everyone that I'm no longer with Safe Routes to School. I'm still advocating for school zone safety, obviously, and education and the program will hopefully continue to go forward. But I'm not with me leading it anymore. So I'll be doing something else. But I hope that the City of Salem and Public Works and the Salem PD and everyone continues to go forward with it. I think the program really got going there, and I think there's a lot of promise, and hopefully it will continue. That's my greatest wish. But, you know, as a citizen, I also support this and I'm happy here and see the change and promote pedestrian and bicycle safety. Considering the numbers are so high, that's really unfortunate, the size of city that we are, but I just see the level of, you know, Salem always is behind, and we're always, you know, compared to other cities, and it's unfortunate because I think it's a really wonderful place to live, and we're really fortunate to have just what a beautiful place to be. And so I think there's plenty of people here that can continue to advocate and hope for the best and educate, and I still want to be part of that.
Late probably commenter coming in, but do you want to make your question or comment or whatever?
Yeah, of course. Ben Fireback, Ward 1. I just had a couple things I wanted to touch on. I've read the report previously. I think you guys presented to City Council a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first kind of question I had, on this page here, there's a figure of a crosswalk sign that told drivers that you were enforcing the crosswalk laws there tomorrow. I guess, I've seen social media posts from you guys about crosswalk and speed enforcement in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why we need to tell drivers that we're enforcing the laws on specific days. I mean, if I was a person that's really used to speeding or not stopping for people in the crosswalk, I would appreciate a sign like that so you guys don't catch me. And I'm not sure if there's like some legal requirement to warn drivers, but like, you know, I walk to work and mm-hmm. I cross in the marked crosswalk. I look both ways and people are still doing their behavior. And so it just kind of leads to me. My second point is, I guess a statistic here that says, 5 of 7 fatal pedestrian crash incidents, pedestrian action contributed to the crash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much of that information comes from the driver of the vehicle that hit them. A lot of the times I know there's not very many witnesses to these types of things, especially if it's late at night, low lights, people are gonna see the incident, there's not a lot of traffic around. And so if the only statement from the driver is, well, hey, this pedestrian didn't look both ways and they just darted right out in front of me, and that's the only statement that we got, I don't think that we should necessarily be basing policy off of that. Because like one of those drivers that was probably driving too fast for the conditions hit me, of course it's in their best interest to say I was doing the darting. And then just like if you've got a road, soft commercial speed limits 30 miles an hour. People frequently drive 40, 45 down there. I'm crossing the street, say somebody's driving 30, their likelihood that they're gonna say that I darted out in the intersection is a lot lower than if somebody was doing 45 or 50. because that driver is going to have more time to react, and they're probably not going to say, oh, well, he was moving too quick. I walk pretty slow. That's just kind of the gist of it. I mean, it's just frustrating to see statistics like this, and just, you know, every time I go out, I'm like, I'm following all the rules, but everybody around me seems to not take care for that, and it's frustrating that we have to put up signs telling them that we're going to enforce the law on specific days. I guess unmarked crosswalks, too. Drivers are required to stop at crosswalks for pedestrians. Every intersection is a pedestrian. It would be nice to see crosswalk enforcement, or at least some kind of message about crosswalks or some visibility thing, because, you know, enhanced crosswalks are a way to get people to stop for pedestrians. Ideally, streets should be designed to get drivers to stop free everywhere. But there's a lot of locations where people are crossing unmarked locations, and I don't know if I've seen crosswalk enforcement at unmarked crosswalks. I don't know if there's a lot of drivers that are aware that they have to stop at those. So that's my two cents.
Okay. I guess I will speak up and add a couple of things. First off, on behalf of CATSE, do want to thank you guys here for showing up and giving us a presentation. We've been wanting to hear from PD on this, because we know that you're a major part of traffic safety, and we would appreciate hearing from you more on a more regular basis than just once every 3 years with a strategic plan.
Yes.
So whatever that looks like, we would appreciate that support. So I probably have some more questions as well related to these activities, specifically when it comes to integration with other arms of the city government and neighboring agencies, because I will say that on my almost 3 years now on CATSE, the general impression I do come away with is that there's a lot of different heads of the Hydra that's trying to keep traffic safe, and they don't always coordinate with each other super well up to date. You know, there are times when Public Works would probably like to have some input, for instance, on where those speed cameras going, because they have information that could be pertinent, or making that information back. You know, you guys are out there collecting speed data on your own in some cases when you're doing your traffic counts, because if you ever see two of those tech tubes down, they're collecting speed. So, like, there's a lot of data being collected by all the different arms of government, and the general impression I've gotten up to this point is that you guys don't always share that information with each other. So I'm liking to see this stronger move towards ICAP with an analytical bent, and I would really hope to hear from PD that you guys are going to be leveraging a lot of this data that's already out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to hear at some point in the next, like, year or two that you've got, like, hey, based on looking at this data from our own accident data and our near misses that we keep track of, because we're having those folks when we're out there doing undercover work and giving people warning citations, we're taking locations, and so we know where those are. We're also looking at speed data, like, here are our, like, safety corridors for the year. I'd like to hear, like, initiatives like that, where it really feels like you guys have, like, a handle on where are these 22 fatalities and any larger number of near misses focused, and, you know, that's where we'd really love to see you guys focused. In the modern era, I think that traffic enforcement and safety enforcement is, like, the least problematic and, like, controversial thing in the PD. I don't think you'll find anyone that would complain to you about going out and trying to keep folks safe, particularly pedestrians. Well, you will find people that will be annoyed at you for pulling them over.
Yeah. No, but we do. So when we do
set, that's your fault.
Yeah, when we do photo red light before we place any of those, because they actually have to give us the permits to work on them, we do consult with Public Works on what locations we should be using, and then in the past on some of the areas when they've done speed readers or traffic counts and things like that, we've coordinated with them on that. And then we also provide them our speed data that comes from our mobile speed cameras and our mobile speed readers. So we'll actually provide them that speed data back when they need it. Because kind of how sometimes a lot of things will go is someone will email a counselor, counselor will email a public works director, and then that'll trickle down to Kevin and probably Scott Kofoid, and then they work together to go, okay, let's get something out there, compile the data, and push it back up. And so we're sharing that. And now we actually, what's really nice is we have better tools for that type of thing. So it used to be we'd have a giant trailer that we'd have to haul out and get a volunteer, and they'd set it up for, you know, 2 or 3 days. Now we have smaller cameras and or speed readers that we're also Public Works is helping us purchase that we can put up, leave up for a few days a week, and easily move it around. And then that data is uploaded to the web, and so we have access to that. And it's pretty good data, I mean, down to, you know, percentages of speeding at what time of day and where it's at. So it's good. So, yeah, we want to continue to make sure we're sharing data and getting the right places and the right times.
Yeah. And I think the other kind of on that education piece, I guess anyone speak up if you're in general and impression is different, but it feels like since COVID, whether you're talking about cyclists, pedestrians, or drivers, there's just been a general downward trend in their conscientiousness of everyone else around them. I feel like you've got more distracted pedestrians, drivers, and less conscientious cyclists than we had before the pandemic. That's been how I've been feeling. So it really feels like one initiative that would be very important is almost, I'd almost say like a remedial course, so to speak, but more just, it's not just students that need to be reminded, it's also 30-somethings, 40-somethings, 50-somethings, you know, people at bars, people in our downtown malls, you know, everyone's forgotten, it really feels like everyone's forgotten how to cross the street properly, and everyone's forgotten how to check over their shoulder for pedestrians and cyclists, and everyone has forgotten how far in advance to be looking down the street, how to scan around them when they're driving. It just feels like there's been this general, like everyone's gotten a lot less careful. And one thing that I would really like to see in general, more from the city apparatus, and that's police, that's Public Works, that's honestly the city council too, is like reminding people to maybe retrain themselves on how to be active participants in the world when they're out in public. I really feel like people just stopped paying attention when they went outside, and like it didn't used to be as bad as it is now with people just out to lunch.
I think it's going to be really helpful with the public service announcement that they are working on. Mm-hmm. So when that gets made, it's going to be really useful to help for educating students in schools. And also, they get to disseminate that all over the place. So it will be an opportunity to sort of blanket the community and the citizens to educate. And I think that's going to be a really useful tool to be able to continue to show everywhere. And that's, it's really great that we won the money and we were awarded the money and we can go forward with that. That's one tool that's going forward. But I think one of the other problems is, where are people getting their information from? Who believes what about what the law is? And people are just sort of not really paying attention right now. So they're very isolated. And how do you really unite a community in that way so that people are looking out for one another? And that's an ongoing conversation.
It's true. Combination of Nextdoor and Facebook are possibly the worst influences on everyone's behavior that I've ever heard of. And
wow.
It just feels like the negative messaging out there of everyone, kind of actually get on Ben's point, you know, we can all blame the other person for what is ultimately at least a certain amount our responsibility, and it really feels like a lot of the messaging that's out there right now that's dominating these conversations about people getting into accidents, Nextdoor is full of stuff up like that, right? Oh. And it's all very much blame gamey and like the person who had the problem blaming the other person, right? So there's a lot of this like dissemination of, the spreading out of blame in a way that also encourages people to not learn from their mistakes. So I think one thing that I think would be important just from an outreach point of view is, you know, how can all these different arms that we have here start trying to put out counter messages that people might actually hear of, you know, we all make mistakes, understand what happened, don't do it again.
Yeah. And unfortunately, when you're talking traffic safety, a mistake can be very costly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's try not to. But no, I think Public Works has done a great job with also, the green bike areas. They've started to put in the buffer zones between parked cars and bike lanes. So doing those types of things to keep cyclists safe has been really, really important as well.
Actually, to dig in on that, so Lancaster does have a fairly decent amount of pedestrian facilities. I believe it's fully sidewalked end to end, isn't it? More or less.
Yeah.
Commercial, not nearly as much, although still mostly. But how much of the, though that is like the focus areas for a lot of like the worst, right, problems? Or is it really, are there a lot more fatalities that are in like weird places?
Yeah, that's kind of been the interesting part is fatalities have been, so when I look for this year, 2500 block of Lancaster, high-end commercial, Highway Avenue, 2400 commercial, Pine and Brooks, 4400 commercial, MLK Parkway, Cunningham, Hazel Green. So they're kind of spread out when we look at actual accidents, some of our major intersections, and that's always difficult too because we kind of get pinned into listing an intersection as a location for a crash, but it may not actually be directly in that intersection, but it's kind of a general pin drop, is Market and Lancaster, Sunnyview and Lancaster, Hawthorne and Market. Those were kind of the, when we were doing our study for other approaches for photo red light and speed on green, those were the bright red spots that we needed to start looking at. It's just kind of the typical traffic issues. Multiple lanes of travel, lots of heavy vehicle volume, access to highways, and then businesses with left turn lanes and driveways throughout that area, and it's pedestrian attracted as well because there's so many shops and things to go around. So just kind of the,
I think that my actual question here is there a general? Do you have a general feeling that it's like a lack of like adequate facilities and like there are streams of traffic mixing that should not be mixing, i.e. pedestrians are having to be close to the shoulder of the road because of lack of sidewalking, or is it really more like a lot of these are in areas that are pretty well built out, like you've got your bike lane, maybe with or without a buffer, but we're working on that, and we've got turn lane facilities, we've got medians, we've got places, we've got refuge lanes, we have all this stuff for that theoretically should be, creating safe conditions, and we're still having these fatal accidents.
Yeah. I'd like to see my guys in here talk about a little bit more for that long-term look, but I think when you look at half of the fatalities involve some kind of impairment, it's like you can design the best road in the world, but if someone's dusting or drunk or high, that said, you can cross that crosswalk, but if they're a 0.20, it doesn't matter. They're gonna hit that person. So I think I would almost say like we probably have keep it that lower amount, and we're down at like 10 this year because I think we're coming off the COVID craziness for driving. I think that's being seen throughout the country in a reduction of fatal crashes. So people are kind of paying attention again. I think cities are catching up with funding to do the right things with traffic environments. And so I think that in combination, that's all kind of working together to be there. We'd probably have to do a bigger retrospective to kind of see if there's some areas. But I mean, like I said, we know usually downtown's going to get some MLK because it's just high speed and people behave erratically there, as well as impaired driving, both pedestrians and cyclists. We have quite a bit of people out there on that, and there's no crosswalks and things like that. So we've seen people going mid-block on a roadway that's 55 miles an hour. That's just super dangerous. And then, when I kind of look at these, it's Lancaster and commercial. It's really kind of where we get it. Barnes and commercial, that's had kind of a cluster of fatals over the past few years down there by Dairy Queen in that kind of little strip. because once again, that's like super high density. But that one's a, that's, I just know being, dealing with that, that's one that routinely gets fatal collisions, both either vehicle on vehicle or vehicle pedestrian. Vehicle motorcycle, actually a lot of motorcycles get hit there too.
So it looked like this year was a bad motorcycle year, like you said.
Yeah. So can I jump back in again?
Please do, but we're nearly out of time as well.
I understand. I asked to have a little more time a while ago. Thank you. So looking at two other pieces, let's see if that, could you scroll down? That's good. Okay. Under strategies, sorry, the formatting isn't very diverse, so it's kind of like hard to find. So under strategy one,
mm-hmm.
second activity.
Yeah.
Following data, actively enforce pedestrian, bicycle, and impaired driving violations in high-risk areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pin that for a second. Strategy two, activities. First activity, follow data to promote traffic safety and education targeted toward pedestrians, bicycles, and impaired driving. So I know there's a lot more. You've already spoken 20 minutes about what's behind
sure.
that.
Yeah.
But I bike and walk most places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very conscientious about being visible and safe and defensive. When I read those two statements, the way they came across to me is that bikes, peds, and impairment all need to be enforced equally, and all three parties are equally at fault,
mm-hmm.
which is not true. The impaired person who's involved in a fatality is always at fault. The bikes usually are not or may have contributed.
Mm-hmm.
The peds, I won't repeat Ben's comment, but you know, the peds may be at fault or not at fault. I think probably what is meant is more nuanced than the way those two statements are
yeah.
worded. And especially, I mean, it's for both, for the enforcement and also for the education and awareness. I would love to see a future version of this do a better job at saying enforcement and education are most needed for impaired drivers. As you just said, if almost half are impairments,
mm-hmm.
all the bike ped safety in the world isn't going to fix
sure,
that.
Yeah.
Or it might help because the pedestrian can like hide in the pedestrian island and maybe not get hit.
Well, and maybe even further, what Cheryl was saying, once you strip away the ones that can be attributed to other factors, that core that seems to be really hard to deal with are impaired drivers.
Mm-hmm.
They just cause problems. Sorry.
Can I add something to that? Ready?
Did that?
Yeah, that resonated.
What I said
so,
makes sense?
Yes, and
okay.
Kind of one of our difficulties in creating a strategic plan is to make it concise and try and tick those boxes. And so I can see how that language can be that. And how we're kind of enacting the strategic plan is both we're trying to distill this down to where it's digestible to the public, and then behind the scenes we have a more nuanced approach as you suggested. So I think poor Angie worked for almost a year to try and get this and distill it down into this version. But yeah, I think moving forward, and that's good to get that feedback
sure.
to say, hey, look, this is how we read it. And, you know, because it's one of those things where when we think about it and write it, we know what that means exactly how we did it, but it's got to be portrayed appropriately.
Especially with the second one, which those are audiences. They aren't people responsible for causing it is audiences. Like the audience is, let's do education to drivers about pedestrians. Let's do education to the audience of people who may not admit that they drive impaired, but they still need to hear the message.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you.
Working
yes.
on that language would be nice, and that second one, just targeted toward,
mm-hmm.
is a blame type of word.
Fair enough.
But I hear you, so thank you.
I think what's helpful is I can appreciate that language only because everything that I learned about growing the pro program with Safe Routes to School was that educating children was the first step. As they grow through generations, they become drivers and bicycle riders and bus riders, and this is what we must target right now in order to change their behavior. It has to be the investment in the children right now, because we're not going to be able to do that with adults and their behavior and how they perform their day-to-day transportation. Just like I understood this, the seatbelt program, like they worked for years to get people to wear their seatbelts, and they had to work to get that over time in order to get people to wear their seatbelts to change fatalities. This is the same thing. When you're talking about education that takes place in schools, you're asking children to learn that over time so that it's embedded in them, and then that behavior, they're educated, and then that's the end goal, right? We're talking about the next generation and how do we work at helping them. And I understand where you feel that could be potentially offensive right now as an adult, but I would praise you in the way that, yes, we have to focus on the children right now in order to change the behaviors in the future to take place, because we all live here and we all have to navigate the same streets and roads. So I hope that helps, Cheryl, in understanding, you know, really what the goals are in that way. And I just wish there was a way to help adults and change behavior if we would all want to work together. But I don't see that necessarily happening all the time, you know?
Yeah, and I do see, I totally see what you're saying, and when I first read this and saw the last bullet under those same activities that support safe modes of travel for students, mm-hmm. I thought, yes, exactly, that's, yes, thank you for,
sure.
You know, thank you for including that.
Yeah.
I had one tiny last thing, which is about accessibility of this document. I wouldn't mind at home with my own printer printing a copy so that I could mark it up and consider it.
Mm-hmm.
A person at home is not going to print this. It's 20 pages of black.
Oh.
It will use up my toner cartridge, and half the pages are pretty and slick. So it's a request that you take exactly the same words, put it into a format like a sheet of paper, and post that as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
All right. Are there any further comments from CATC? All right. Well, then, to close out the presentation, I'll just again say thank you for attending. We hope to hear more from Salem PD in the future. We want to integrate more with you. So. We'll coordinate through Public Works a little bit, but I'd expect that at some point in the future, CATC will probably also come with a specific request for, we want a liaison, we'd like to be able to, you know, hear from PD on a presentation of this sort, X number of times a year or something like that, to give you guys some goalposts to shoot for, but those are just requests, obviously, so just know that in general, we appreciate you being here. I'm very happy to hear from you guys, because I've been very curious to hear the PD perspective on safety for some time.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, then, with nothing else, I will call this over at 7:05.
Thank you.
We started at 7:02. Great job.
We do our best.
Yeah, not every meeting goes like that. We're gonna hire you out.
Well, to be fair, I work for Public Works in different areas. So I'm used to keeping a tight ship. And to go against myself, we literally just had to call an emergency meeting because I couldn't get us through a topic in a single one.
No.
So
that happens. It happens.